If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules related to prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Sheikh Javed, we are talking about rules about prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode. What is the Islamic law about the leather imported from non-Muslim countries? We all know that there is an import and export, and no place is like self-sufficient in that regard. And there are lots of exports, you know, or materials which are imported into the country, and some of them come from the non-Muslim countries. So should one be really extra cautious about the leather imported from those countries?
The question regarding leather has always been a frequently asked question. A lot of people, a lot of Muslims living in the West and also living in Muslim countries are very much concerned. They are worried and they wonder as to what they should do with regard to the leather found in their countries but imported from non-Muslim countries. Grand Ayatollah Khamenei is of the view that if leather is imported from such countries, and it's one doubts whether it is the leather that comes from halal animal or an animal slaughtered according to Islamic law or not, and the doubt persists, of course it is that leather is considered to be that leather is not treated to be impure. And the rule that applies to the skin of a dead animal or to the skin of, for example, an animal whose meat is essentially forbidden does not apply to the skin or to the leather that is imported from a non-Muslim, because there is a slight probability, there is a chance that the leather might be that of an animal that might have been slaughtered by Muslims and might have been slaughtered according to Islamic law. But, okay, that... But we have to also understand that in this scenario, you cannot use that leather during prayers. You cannot pray with that leather. You know, the leather that comes from or is imported from non-Muslim country, it's not treated to be an impure, but still you cannot pray with it. As a measure of precaution, you cannot, you know, you cannot pray with that leather. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot pray with a coat, with a leather coat imported from a non-Muslim country, from Britain, from America, from China, from any other countries, you know,
mm-hmm.
you cannot wear. But if you happen to touch it with a wet hand, you cannot treat it as impure. You cannot, okay, it's not necessary for you to wash your hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's the benefit of the doubt, you know.
I see.
You have to give the benefit of the doubt to yourself in that case.
I see. But we all know that they don't sacrifice, for example, those animals in the way that Muslims do.
You're right.
All right?
And that's,
so that should make it ritually impure then.
Yeah, that is for sure. If you know for sure that this is the leather of an animal which has not been 100% sure
mm-hmm.
that it has not been slaughtered according to Islamic law, that's najis. It's impure.
But they are coming from non-Muslim countries,
yeah,
we know.
That comes from... There are thousands of Muslims living in those countries, and there is a chance, a probability, though not very strong,
yes.
a probability that that leather might be from the leather of an animal... which might have been slaughtered according to Islamic law.
I see.
So that's why if you touch it with a wet hand, you don't have to wash your hand. You do not treat it as impure.
Right.
But then you cannot wear it during prayer. It's a choice that you should make, you know, that, you cannot pray with that cloth. You have to take it off.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Al-Ali al-Azim.
back to the program Islamic Law on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And our dear guest speaker here in the studio is still Sheikh Javi. We are talking about the rules about prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, you know, we know that a lot of people these days keep pets at home.
Yeah.
All right? And some of these pets are not necessarily like pure animals per se. All right? For example, they keep not only dogs, but they keep cats, for example, at home. We know that the shepherds, for example, they keep dogs because of guarding. We have the sheepdog, right?
Yes.
And it's something like a must for the shepherds,
yeah,
in fact, to guard against, to fend off, for example, the wolves or any predators.
You're right.
About their, for example, animals they keep. But sometimes even people keep like an animal such as cats. So if they're playing with the cats at home, there is a chance that their clothes are somehow, have a little hair of the cat stay on it. All right? So in that case, would they be able to offer the prayers in that dress?
And there is a general principle, and this principle is accepted by a wide, range of scholars, except Grand Ayatollah Sistani. When it comes to Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, he believes and he maintains that cat hair makes the prayer void. No matter there is one thread, one strand of cat hair,
yes,
or two or more. Okay. If you find cat hair on your cloth, or if you find rabbit hair on your cloth, you should remove it. And if you know that there is cat hair, you cannot pray. You cannot pray with the cloth on which there is cat hair. Okay?
But if you're not sure?
If you're not sure, if you happen to know after you have prayed that there was cat hair on your cloth, your prayer is valid because you did not know. And you could not take any action when you did not, you are not supposed to take any action when you did not know that there was cut hair on your cloth.
Yes.
So if you know and you deliberately offer your prayer with the cut with cut hair on your cloth or on your body, your prayer is going to be invalid.
How about cat saliva?
Yeah.
If any small drop of the saliva drop of cat saliva drops on your clothes, would that be an invalidating agent?
You're right. Cat saliva is also, it's not najis. But, you know, according
it's not like the dog's saliva, basically.
Yeah, of course, it's not like that. But cat saliva, again, it makes your prayer white. If you know there is cat saliva and you pray with it, you cannot, you should pray. You should repeat your prayer. Yeah, according to Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, you cannot. And there's a ruling, if you know, the ruling 86, of course, you can, our audience, those who understand or speak Persian, they can refer to the Manual of Islamic Laws written by Grand Ayatollah Khamenei,
yes,
of course. He clearly states that cat saliva makes the prayer white. But if it dries up, and there's no saliva seen on your clothes or in your body, then you can pray with it because it's non-existent now.
I see.
Yes.
But what about the bird's excretion on the dress, especially a new suit, when you're wearing a new suit to work, for example, it happens that, in fact, sometimes the birds may hover around and then they excrete something on it and then make it dirty. And sometimes the birds, in fact, are not ritually impure. For
yes.
example, we are talking about like the excretion of a sparrow or a pigeon.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it might be the excretion of a crow or an eagle.
Yeah.
So in that scenario, does it make it like make the prayer invalid?
According to a general principle, all the animals that whose meat are forbidden to eat, like rabbits, like birds of any category, and like let's say jackals, foxes, and so on and so forth. The animals whose meat is haram to eat, their urine and their stool, their feces or their excretion are impure, mm-hmm. are impure. So now if you compare a pigeon with a crow or a pigeon with an eagle, the urine or the excretion of a pigeon is not najis because its meat is halal. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the excretion of an eagle or a haram bird is najis. And if it, let's say, drops something on you, you cannot pray with it. Mm-hmm. Your prayer will be affected. If you know for sure that there is crop excretion on your body or on your clothes, you must remove it. Otherwise, your prayer will not be valid.
And it's not about the size either?
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't make any difference.
Like the blood you said?
Yes. It doesn't make Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwa is general. He doesn't uh-huh. say that, okay, if there is a lot or a big quantity of mm-hmm. bird excretion, then you should remove it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun rahimun mannanun kareemun salamun alimun la ilaha illahum ghaffarun jameelun wahhabun latifun tawwabun samiun basir لا إله إلا